Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the Bible to teach us what to believe and how to behave. We pray that you'd help us to understand the message of Samson this morning, and we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. The story of Samson is told in the book of Judges, chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16. And in 10 minutes now, I do not have time to tell the whole story. But children, you may well like to ask your mum or your dad or some other grown-up to read you the story of Samson, maybe during this week, as you may have done with the story of Gideon, who we heard about a few weeks ago. It's a great story, and I shall only be able to tell part of it. And it happened at a time when God's people had been effectively conquered by some rather nasty folk called the Philistines. And they had totally surrendered to the Philistines. And the Philistines had a god called Dagon. And I imagine that in school assembly in the mornings, the teacher would say, "Dagon rules, okay?" And all the children dutifully answered, "Okay." And they believed what the Philistines told them to believe, and they lived as the Philistines told them to live. Much as many of us today believe what the world outside teaches us to believe and behave as the world outside teaches us to behave. And into this Samson came, and he began really well. And our first heading I've called Great Expectations, because Samson's birth and his childhood were a time of great expectations. I've got a picture. Shirley Magilton is my resident artist, and she's drawn us some pictures of Samson. And here is a picture of Samson and his mother and father. There we are. There he is. His birth was announced by angels, and as he grew up, his mother and father were godly, believing Jews, and they taught him what the angel had said before he was born. And this is what the angel said to his mother: "After your son is born, you must never cut his hair." He's got hair growing quite long there. "Because from the day of his birth, he will be dedicated to God as a Nazirite." That meant in those days someone who was specially set apart to be different for God. "And he will begin," said the angel, "the work of rescuing Israel, God's people, from the Philistines." Someone's got to start being different and rescuing, and Samson is going to be that man. That's what the angel said. Well now, as Samson grew up, he grew quite strong. It's probably the one thing most people know about Samson, that he grew up strong. He was unusually good at rugby. I think they put him in the second row. He was strong. He broke the school weightlifting record at the age of 11. And he didn't have great brains. I don't think he'd have got into the very competitive schools in his country. And I'm sorry to say, he had a very hot temper. Hang on, I think we've got slight tempers over here. Would you like to let go? There we are. He would have been very at home in what we now call the Yob culture. He was the only boy in his school to be convicted of grievous bodily harm in the playground, when his teacher told him to cut his hair. But his parents spent a lot of time telling him, "You've got to be different. You are the one God has chosen to rescue his people from the Philistines." And I'm not sure that much of this sunk into Samson. And maybe there may be some of us in similar positions. Some of us maybe with godly, praying parents. Maybe like little Sarah, baptized as babies and born into a childhood of great expectations of living for God, and yet, well, we'll see what happened with Samson, and maybe some of us will feel that we've been rather the same. All of us are born into a country with open churches and open Bibles, and in a sense, the great expectations that God had of Samson are great expectations that God has of each one of us, old and young. Well, what happened when Samson grew up? Children, do you think Samson grew up to be good and to rescue Israel from the Philistines and to live as God wanted him? Anyone know the story and know whether he did? Any ideas as to whether Samson grew up to be godly and separate and good? Puzzled faces. No, indeed, he did not. I'm afraid our second heading is that Samson was what I call a walking disaster. And he was. You read those chapters again, or get a grown-up to read them. He was a walking disaster, and the first thing we learn about him as a grown-up is this. He went down to a town called Timnah, and some of you young boys will think that girls are what one of my sons has described as yuck. You will think that girls are not to be played with in the playground. But the time comes when that changes rather radically. And that time came to the town of Timnah. She was a Philistine girl, and she caught his eye. And he fell for her, hook, line, and sinker. He wrote her poems, I expect, not very good ones, because he wasn't very bright, but he tried. He sent her flowers. He had her photo up in his room. He offered to help her father with the do-it-yourself. And when her father was building an extension, he said, that's fine, I'll hold the ceiling up while you build the walls. And if this girl was anything like Lois Lane, I expect she fell for him. And then there was a tense teenage interview. Some of the Pathfinders may be beginning to have tense teenage interviews with your parents. And it was an awkward interview. And he said to his father and mother, I'll tell you who he reminds me of. He reminds me of Veruca Salt. Those of you who know Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, some of the grown-ups will be deprived and won't know this brat, who always says to her father, I want you, Daddy, to get it now. Whatever it might be, I want it now. That's what Samson said about this girl. He said to his father and mother, I want her now. Get her for me. I want to marry her now. And his father and mother said, but she's a Philistine. She's one of the enemies of God's people. You can't marry her. And he said, I want her now. Get her for me. And it's a terrible anticlimax. And I'm afraid it sets the pattern for Samson's life, which was a life of wild violence. Here are some examples from it. God gave him great strength, and he used it, but he didn't use it very well. One occasion he was walking through the countryside and a lion made an error of judgment. And this lion jumped on Samson, and there's a picture of Samson. Maybe we'll swing that round a bit. There's a picture of Samson tearing the lion limb from limb. It was the strength God had given him. I'm not sure it was exactly what God wanted him to do. Later on, to get his own back on the Philistines, who'd done something nasty to him, he did something else. I can get that stout. He got a whole lot of foxes. And do you know what he did? You'd never have thought of this. The worst vandals amongst us here would never have thought of this. He tied the foxes' tails together in pairs. He put a lighted torch in between the pair of tails, and he let them loose in the Philistine cornfields. So they ran around in panic and burnt up all the Philistine corn. It was a horrible thing to do. Made trouble for the Philistines, but that was the sort of man that Samson was. On another occasion, Samson was nearly captured in a Philistine town of Gaza, where he was. And he shouldn't have been there, but he was. And the Philistines said, we'll lock the gates and we'll catch him. And do you know what Samson did? He got up in the middle of the night, and he went out, and he said, oh, there are some locked gates. And there is Samson, picking up the gates and carrying them out of Gaza. So poor old Gaza, this great Philistine city, had no gates. This was the kind of guy Samson was. I'm not sure this was really what God wanted him to do, but that's what he did. Poor old Samson. It was a life of total selfishness, a life of saying, I want, and then getting what he wanted right through his life. But finally it led, as some of us know, to disaster. He was always falling in love, as he did at the beginning, with unsuitable women. And he fell in love with one last unsuitable woman. She was called Delilah. And the Philistine leaders said to Delilah, look, Samson is causing us a lot of trouble. Can you find out why he is so strong? And at first Samson wouldn't tell her. And the second try, he wouldn't tell her. He kept teasing her and telling her the wrong reasons. But eventually he admitted it. And he said, actually, the reason I'm strong is that my hair has never been cut, as a sign that I'm special and separate for God's service. And so Delilah, who didn't really love him, cut his hair off, and he was captured and blinded and taken back into Gaza, that city whose gates he'd taken away. And as he went into Gaza, he may have noticed there was no sound of the gates opening for him, and remembered this was the city where he'd taken the gates away. But now he's captive. And they took him blind, and they chained him up in the prison, and they put him to grinding the mill wheel. There he is, looking very miserable, chained and grinding the mill wheel. And some of the grown-ups will know that great line of the poet Milton. Ask for that great deliverer now. Where is he, that great deliverer of Israel? Where is he now? And find him eyeless in Gaza, at the mill with slaves. And I wonder if Samson didn't do a bit of thinking while he was pushing that mill wheel round, and think to himself, what a great start I had, what great expectations I had at the beginning, and God had for me, and I've ruined it. I have ruined my life by living for myself. And I wonder if he didn't think to himself, I wish I could go back to the beginning. And there may be some of us here who sometimes feel the same. I've made a mess of my life. I wish I could go back to the beginning and make it right again. And then the Bible story writer tells us, just a marvelous little sentence, it says, and then his hair began to grow again. And we're on the edge of our seats, and we think, what's going to happen next? Well, what happened next was the Philistine rulers had a great feast for their god, Dagon. And they shouted out, our God has given us victory over our enemy, Samson. And then they said, let's get Samson out so we can tease him and mock him and take the mickey out of him. So someone went round down to the prison and said, Samson, you want it upstairs. And they brought him upstairs. And then they put Samson just next door to the two pillars that held up this whole building. All the Philistine leaders were there and hundreds of other people. And then Samson did something he had only done, I think, maybe once before in his life. He prayed. Oh, his mum and dad had taught him to pray. He'd said his prayers as a child just to please them. But I think only once before in his life that he really prayed. And now he did. And he said, Lord God, please. And I think in his mind there must have been the thought, I've made a mess of my life, but I want it to count for something in the end. Please give me strength one last time. And God gave him the strength that he needed. And in a way it was a very sad and tragic scene. But there is Samson pushing those pillars. And as he pushes them, the whole of this great building falls down. And the Philistine leaders and hundreds of other Philistines are killed in that. And the Bible writer tells us that Samson, who was meant to be causing trouble for the Philistines, in his death, he killed more of them than he had in his life. Well, it's a pretty sad story, but it's a story of God making something in the end of a man who'd made a mess of his life. And my last hero is heading is Samson, the hero of faith. And I take it that when the book of Hebrews in the New Testament includes Samson in the list of heroes of faith, I take it is because at the last he prayed and God made something of a life that had been such a mess. And I wonder if some of us think to ourselves, well, isn't he a puzzle? A walking disaster, getting so much wrong in his life, and yet in the end counting for something with God. Hundreds of years later, there was another man. Children, I wonder if you can think who this is, whose birth was announced by angels, who grew up to live a life of great strength and power, and who finally died a death of great weakness, but in his death won a victory far greater than anything he had done in his life. Grace. Jesus. And isn't it puzzling that Samson, the walking disaster, should be so like Jesus? There's a puzzle. And I learn from Samson as we close that God is a God who loves to take lives that are walking disasters, lives that have been messed up, as many of ours have been, all of ours have been, one way or another, from the youngest to the oldest, and he loves to take those lives and to make something of them that will count in the end. He wants to make walking disasters into heroes of faith. It's a great story. It's worth reading the rest of the story later. I'm going to close with a prayer, and then we're going to sing. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who loves to make something good and true and beautiful and effective out of something broken and ruined. And we pray that you would do that in many, many of our lives, for Jesus' sake. Amen.